It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Stavin's Den.
And we are back. You are listening to Stavin's Den. Thank you for hanging, though. Probably not as many people listen live now. I don't know. All right. Very good, very good. Pip didn't even make it back. Oh, she's making it into the room. She's moving slowly. Let's do some School of Fools. This was Joe's blog this week. This story is about Ohio trying to crack down and crack down on the scourge that is female transgender athletes winning all that gold and gaining all that glory. That's why they do it, kids. They switch genders to whoop cis females' asses. I wish I would have thought about that. I got to be honest. Even if I would have switched genders, I'd probably still get my ass kicked in sports. How you like them apples? But
right. What would you do
if I'd switched genders in high school to play sports?
Yeah.
Like I probably still would have gotten my ass kicked. Plus bills are taking hold on. But let's do some, because not just because you switch genders doesn't mean you win. But all right, let's do some School of Fools.
As Pride Month continues, debate over LGBTQ plus bills are taking center stage at the State House.
A bill that would require genital inspections for teens recently sparked widespread outrage. Our State House reporter Morgan Trow has been covering that bill since the start.
She says GOP leadership is now backing down.
But that amendment is dead.
Yeah.
Ohio Senate President Matt Huffman has made his stance known about the transgender sports bill, which requires any girl or woman on a sports team accused of being transgender to have a full external and internal genital inspection.
But it's not necessary. It's not going to happen.
The Save Women's Sports Act was added into another bill and passed by the State House late at night. It says if someone is suspected to be transgender, she must go through evaluations of genitalia, testosterone levels, and genetic makeup. 1 week ago, Huffman said he can't have an opinion about the inspection since it's not something he's an expert in.
Those are the kind of things that you need to sit down, you have testimony about, you work out the details, you talk to experts.
Well, Huffman gets to choose which bills are heard in the Senate, and he says this proposal isn't moving forward. We checked with his team today, and they say this is his plan.
I'm not sure why that's in the bill.
No child, regardless of gender, should be subject to internal genital inspections just because they want to play sports.
Mother and activist Katie Paris knew former Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos was speaking at the City Club of Cleveland. After outrage about the bill, she decided to ask DeVos about it.
And I just wonder if we can't all, regardless of party, come together and say, you know what? We're moms. We're not doing that.
DeVos deferred to Huffman, who assured Paris the inspections will be taken off the bill. But banning trans girls from sports with cisgender girls could still happen.
This is a House bill that was passed in the dead of night without conversation with any of the senators. Senator Rogner's here does have a bill, which we plan to move in November, December, that deals directly with the issue that you're talking about.
Governor DeWine's team says that he supports these decisions being made by athletic associations. At the State House, Morgan Trow, News 5.
Furthermore, the pelvic exam would include ultrasound or insertion of a doctor's hand to confirm the presence of uterus and ovary, said Melissa Wervery Arnold, CEO for Ohio's chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics. People need to understand that this is not standard practice, Arnold said. Adult males and females do have their genitals examined, but that's not standard practice in pediatric care. Several doctors have already told her association that they feel uncomfortable being put in this position and might refuse to perform such examinations on minor children. Democratic Democratic State Representative Beth Liston, now a professor of pediatrics at Ohio State University, said she would have refused if one of her minor patients asked. Aside from the stigma of having your identity questioned, the Dublin Democrat said an exam that involves insertion to check for a cervix could be emotionally damaging, even traumatizing to a young girl. That's why children's hospitals have specifically trained staff who examine minor victims of sexual abuse. She recommended families find a specialist, even though that's expensive. If HB 151 becomes a law as written, the bill requires evaluation and testing that is completely medically unnecessary and will cause harm, Liston said. I can't imagine it will be covered by insurance. A 2021 analysis by Becker's Hospital Review estimated ultrasounds average $643 in Ohio. Combine that with the cost of genetic and hormone testing, and parents could be looking at medical bills well above $1,000. HB 151 also says any participant who is deprived of an athletic opportunity or suffers a direct or indirect harm would have the right to sue a school and its district for damages. With that in mind, both Liston and Arnold worried schools would be, in an abundance of caution, immediately pull a student whose sex was questioned or perhaps mandate exams for all female athletes. She's way too tall. She's way too good. She doesn't look like a girl to me. She doesn't even wear dresses. These are things that can prompt a question, Liston said. For example, former Ohio School Athletic Association employee Ben Ferry told the USA Today Network Ohio Bureau that a state lawmaker told him an incorrect story in 2019 about a transgender girl dominating 8th grade basketball. We didn't have a record of a trans athlete being at that school or even that sport, so we called to check, Ferry said. The school told us they're probably thinking about this girl who is very large for an 8th grade girl and has a short haircut. So that is the story. This was Joe's blog. Joe, what say you?
Basically, it's once again a group of people. You give them an inch, they take a mile. The trans community needs to understand that if they want to identify as a woman, that's fine. That's your business. You have that right. Once you decide that you want to, you're a man, physically a man, biologically a man, with the physical attributes of a man, and you want to enter a woman's sport, it is not fair. You have an advantage. You're competing against women that are, you know, biologically women that in some cases have trained since they were very young for the sport, plan on maybe getting a scholarship for that sport, and now you have somebody that comes in who is essentially a man that is sweeping the competitions because physically they are a bit more physically able in that sport. It is not that – it's not fair. And people need to start to push back and say, no, you need to be a biological woman to be in this sport.
I will – usually this is where I give my 2 cents after the blog. But since Pip is a cisgen – I think it's cisgen woman. I think that's what it is as far as I can tell. Yeah. I've had my hand up her cervix, but honestly – I was just trying to do a puppet show. I wasn't really looking for anything, so I'm not the medical expert I seem. So in deference to that, and because I violated Pip on multiple occasions, just for comedy purposes, I will let Pip respond first.
I am of two minds about this. Well, first of all, I really hate the idea that trans people would not be allowed to be participants in sports on either team because of problems. You know, like, what if are the men's teams going to be now accepting women? Well, I don't think that they are. So now that somebody has transitioned to a female, they would not be welcome. But now, if they're going to be on the female team, yeah, there are going to be not. I mean, as Davin said earlier, joking, you know, just because if he transitioned to a woman, that doesn't mean that, you know, the women wouldn't be able to beat his ass anyway. But if you have somebody who is a superior athlete as a man, and then they transition to be a woman, and then they're competing against cis women, you know, I mean, there's a size differential. There, you know, in some cases, I could see how it would be like impossible for the other women to compete with the trans woman if they were like really big and muscly like they have been as a man. I see the unfairness in the competition. I also see that it's I wouldn't want to be in the position to tell trans people they can't participate in sports anymore.
I would be in a position to tell them, because basically I would tell them, look, you want to make a change in your life, that's fine. However, there are certain conditions that you're going to have to understand that are going to happen due to this change, due to the physicality of what you were born with.
Sorry. All right, let's get down to this. All right, there's a lot of things here.
2% of the population. So why is 2% of the population dictating what the other 98%?
Well, see, all right, there's a lot of things. First of all, there's a lot, because there's a lot to it. Now you're talking about girls of all ages. We're talking about minors. We're talking about minors that are going to be subjected, if some people got their way, to internal examination.
Define the age of a minor. What are you defining as the age of a minor?
12? 13? 12? 14? 15? 16? 17? Minors.
There shouldn't be somebody going on an operation like that at 12 years.
That's your opinion.
For another story.
That's your opinion. First of all, they're not having an operation, a lot of them. A lot of them are just taking hormone treatments. They're not having operations. So
it's giving you a superior edge over the other
people competing. How many trans women?
Hormone treatments at that age.
How many trans women? Stop talking and listen. How many trans women are you aware of that are whipping ass? I am aware of one. She is a swimmer, and now a lot of the competitions have said that she cannot compete. I am aware of one transgender woman who started as a man and transitioned to a woman who is completely dominating. The reality is, transgender people are a very small portion of the country, the world. And transgender dominating in any way, in any sport, are much, much less. What this really is, and now I do understand if you're competing against somebody and you're losing, I understand that. But let's really evaluate what this is. This is a culture war thing. That's what this is.
It's not really.
It is.
2% of the population that are being pandered to. And that are trying to make it's getting ridiculous, and it's got to stop because they're pushing everything beyond where they should be with it.
But you're not analyzing the law. You're putting your feelings into it because
it's a physical. It's
you're not paying attention to the law. You're not. You know. You need to pay attention to the law. I understand.
So you're going to tell me it's not biology?
No. You need to. I understand your issues. Put that aside. Pay attention to the law as it is written. Suspicion. It could be a parent. It could be a coach. It could be an opposing team. That is very broad. That could be. So the way the law is written, if I am suspicious because somebody is doing well, they have to be pulled aside and inspected invasively. That is the law. So again, put your concerns aside. Look at the law. Also, you were dealing with children. Children.
First of all, the children shouldn't have. Somebody shouldn't be transgender or.
But that's a separate issue.
Anyway.
That's a separate issue.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is, Joe.
No. Because what you're saying is, well, you're talking about 12-year-old kids. Well, you shouldn't be transitioning then at that age.
But you're just focused. You're just focused.
Child abuse.
You're just focused on the kids that are transitioning.
I'm focused on common sense.
No, because you're not looking at the law. You're just focused on the transition thing. This law will affect kids that are not transitioning, that are nothing. They're just somebody suspected them, and now you're going to do this to this child because there's a suspicion. That's the law. So
then you know what you do? You provide the birth certificate. Here's my birth certificate.
That's not the law. That's not the law, Joe.
Then they need to change the law.
But we're talking. Well, fine. Now you're talking sense.
Then it's not an issue.
Now you're talking sense. Now you're talking intelligent ways to solve a problem. I am talking about the problems with this law. Yes, a birth certificate is a very realistic way to do things. Now, then you might have problems with discrimination, this, that, the other thing, and you know you let the courts deal with that. That's what the courts are. But a birth certificate seems like a much better way to handle this. than to invade young girls because somebody had a suspicion. And now we've talked about on occasion, and I coached a little bit, how crazy some of these little league things are. Can you imagine trying to get into the opponent's head? Because, you know, hey, this 12-year-old, 10-year-old hit a home run in softball. I think she's a man. Oh, I think she's transitioning to a boy. There's no proof of that. I have a suspicion. So now this kid's going to be pulled aside and at 10 years old. And who's going to pay for it? If you were, the birth certificate is the right way to do it. If you really have a problem with this. If you really want to do, what?
Who's going to pay for it?
But no, it's a real problem.
I would concede that on that I don't know why they put a birth, you know, they wouldn't put a birth certificate in there. Basically, that's what the sex was at birth. And you have to fill out forms and permission slips when you play a sport. So I don't, you know, so yeah, with everything else going on in there, yeah, a proof of a birth certificate would be something that would satisfy.
Because Joe,
if you were born, oh,
they don't want to resolve issues. It goes back to what I said. This is a culture war. You came up with on your own something that you have an issue with, and I understand the issue. I don't know how I feel about it, but you came up with a common sense thing. If you're really against women, girls who are born women, cisgender competing against people transitioning, the birth certificate is the best way to do it. But they didn't come up with that. They wanted to target people. And not just transgender people. They wanted to target all females. That's why the country was outraged. And that's what this party's doing now. You on your own came up with a solution. I mean, it's hard to argue that solution. Again, you know, people who are transitioning, it might go to the courts. Fine. But at least we're not saying, hey, let's stick a tool or a hand up a 10-year-old's whatever, a vagina to find out what she is. They didn't come up with that. And you know what I would do?
This goes back to what I've said, where basically politicians, I don't understand. They've got to be some of the dumbest motherfuckers out there. And on either end of the aisle. I mean, like I said, if you wanted to provide, yeah, agreed, that all you would have to do is provide a birth certificate stating that you were...
Which you have to provide anyway to compete in sports so they can verify your age.
Yeah.
What kind of sickness gets into somebody's mind that they say to themselves that a young girl, maybe she's tomboyish or whatever, that the only way that we can solve the issue of this, of trying to see if she has an unfair advantage, is we're going to give her an internal exam. Fuck who's going to pay for it. Who's going to deal with the fallout from these girls being violated because some Karen has got her...
The money thing is important because a lot of poorer families can't afford the type of expenses that they're talking about. I think, hey,
well,
you're
that too. But it shouldn't be. But it shouldn't even get to the money.
It's all part of it. It's all part of it. They're targeting the less off. They're trying to target transgender people. They're not trying to solve a problem. It took us a while to get there, but Joe came up with a solution to the problem. And that's what it is. This conversation triggered Joe. He was all angry about it, and I was trying to get him to go, put all that aside. Look how they're trying to solve the problem. And when we did that, Joe came up with a common sense solution that I think most people would agree with. The same thing I said about voter IDs. Listen, if you can take care of the poor and make sure it's not a financial hardship, it shouldn't be an issue to show you're a citizen of this country to vote. There are common sense ways to do things if you are really trying to accomplish things. But that's not what this is. This is a culture war. This is smoke and mirrors. And as I said before,
It is a culture war. It's a cultural war. Say that three times fast. And like I said, it's a cultural. And basically, everything I write, I wrote in my blog, I stand by. Well, there's got to be a better way to do it. Okay, a birth certificate. Where Davin comes in and says it's a cultural war, I do believe it's the far right. Being so outraged over this, and being so outraged that you know the trans community is really pushing things a little bit over bounds.
It's not the far right. It's the well. Hear me out. Hear me out on this, because the Texas GOP, the state body just did something about like homosexuality, like disagreeing with that lifestyle. They're taught they Biden is not recognized as president. I might bring up the story next week. We used to say it's the fringe of the left or the right. Unfortunately, what was the fringe has taken over the right now, where you have now what was traditionally conservative values, and I didn't agree with a lot of them, are now considered rhinos, and they're targeted, where you have this politician running for senator in Missouri, a Republican primary, said he's hunting rhinos with guns, with all the gun violence out there. This is no longer the fringe. This is where we are. You actually, Joe, are the fringe, unfortunately, of the party. I mean, I wouldn't call you center, but you're not as right as this, and you're in the minority now. You are in the minority now. You have to be what we still call batshit crazy, and the majority would have called batshit crazy 7 years ago. Now, that is the majority. The things that, and we talked about this on the car ride, you know, we were talking about a little bit about politics and Biden and everything. And, you know, I said, listen, the Democrats are going to get killed and Biden's going to get killed because, you know, the economy's actually good, but people don't feel that because, you know, inflation's up, gas is up, blah, 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 and not much they can do. But you're the ones in charge. I said, if I was the Republicans, that's what I'd be going after. But unfortunately, there are no answers for this. So instead, they're going to do stuff like this.
There are, and I brought up my points on answers and where you could start to be proactive.
But they're not doing that, Joe.
Every day.
They're not doing that. They want to fight this war. They want to do culture wars.
Let me bring this up again. Once again, I'm going to say, and we've discussed this for years, and it's on both sides of the aisle. They can't be this fucking stupid about the way they go about things.
But here's the thing,
and
Joe.
Like I said,
here's the thing. We vote for them. We're the ones, not you, me, and Pip. But I don't think we voted for anybody like this. But we're putting them for power. We say this represents us. We talked about a couple of weeks ago, last week when we did the Father's Day show, about the Republican in Michigan who was running against three other Republicans, you know, with the anti-Semitism and not believing in climate change and telling his daughter to sit back, relax, and enjoy the rape. There was three other Republicans besides this guy running. He won the primary. Probably the most batshit guy. So this is what we're voting for. You get the government you deserve.
Another thing, I'll bring up two sides of the coin. You got to hear me out on this. The January 6th Commission, and you got to hear me out on this. The January 6th Commission, I feel, is a witch hunt. They should be working on the economy, the supply chain issues, food, and so forth. Now, with that being said, me scolding that, then I look at Donald Trump. Nobody gives a good goddamn about your feelings about the election. You have so much to cherry pick from on the failings of the Democratic Party that you could have a field day. Enough with the election being stolen. With everything going on in the Democratic Party, your biggest problem is where to fucking start. You know,
but see, but that's what you're not understanding. That's what you're not understanding about the Republicans. The ones that are now the fringe are saying, I don't want to look back. But the majority of the party is still focused on 2020. I agree with you. There are things
that's
that...
Then that's where they're failing.
Yes!
You could sit and... You can put that as like, well, where do we start with the Democrats? The problem is where to start. It's a fucking plethora of stuff. And you're going to worry about this shit? Tangible stuff. Well, I feel that the election was stolen. Well, at this point, it's up to conjecture, whatever. You can sit there and go, I'm getting sick and tired of paying high gas prices. I'm sick and tired of my investments being there. I'm sick and tired of bitter food. That's tangible shit. Everybody goes through that. And if you're not going to address it, you're fucking...
Well, let me ask you this, Joe, and then I want to move on to the next topic. So, Joe Biden is considering a federal gas tax holiday. We had the state gas tax holiday in New York, and I think I was telling you when we were driving, you could actually see which gas stations passed that on to the customers and which one didn't. It was about a 15-cent gas reduction, and you could actually see it in real time. Okay. So if Joe Biden, in order to alleviate what we're all talking about, and I think it would be like a 15 to 18 cents in federal taxes per gallon, if he does call a federal gas tax holiday, would you approve of that?
I wouldn't mind it. It's giving it a break. But what needs to be done is everybody go, oil companies made amazing profits. They lost their shirts during the pandemic. Now, here's the deal. Basically, what they have to do, they have an incentive to ramp up production. However, you have this administration that is so Green New Deal that if they ramp up the production, once they get there, are they going to still make money off of that?
All right. Well, I don't want to get into all that. Would you approve of the decision if he waives the federal gas, if he calls a federal gas tax holiday?
The short term solution to cut the price, yeah.
Okay.
But as a Green New Deal policy, he really needs to go over, because basically fossil fuel, nuclear energy, and natural gas are the ways to go until they perfect solar and wind, and they have not yet. And
well,
basing a whole infrastructure of electricity on this.
Tonight's not the show. Not the show where we're going to solve energy policy. I was just curious about that, because we were talking about solutions and people feeling pain. And okay, I agree. I mean, I think it's something that should be looked at, because we are hurting. People are having a hard time paying their bills. Okay, let's move on. So we'll go to Texas now. And this was actually a conversation that Joe Sensei and myself had when Pip was out, when this story first happened. And Joe was where he is now. Russ was on his side, but actually Russ conceded the point to me that government is not good at solving these type of problems, which is what we just did over there. So this is the Texas law. Three Texas families sued the state Wednesday, seeking to halt investigations of them over gender-confirming medical treatments their transgender children received in a renewed challenge to the state looking to such treatments as child abuse. The lawsuit also asked the Texas judge to block the state from opening any similar investigations against any Texas members of LGBTQ advocacy group PFLAG Inc. The lawsuit comes about a month after the Texas Supreme Court allowed the state to investigate parents of transgender youth for child abuse, while also ruling in favor of one family that was among the first contacted by child welfare officials following order by Republican Governor Greg Abbott. The latest challenge, brought by Lambda Legal and the American Civil Liberties Union, seeks a new broad order against the investigation. If it takes a court ruling to ensure that the law protects families who lead with love and support of transgender Texans, so be it, Brian K. Bond, executive director of PFLAG National, said in a statement. Spokespeople for Abbott and Attorney General Ken Paxton did not immediately return messages late Wednesday afternoon. Texas went farther than any state in February when Abbott issued an order instructing child welfare officials to investigate reports of gender-confirming care for kids as abuse. A judge in March put that order on hold after a lawsuit brought on behalf of a 16-year-old girl whose family said it was under investigation. The Texas Supreme Court in May ruled that the lower court overstepped its authority by blocking all investigations going forward. The lawsuit marked the first report of parents being investigated following Abbott's directive, an earlier non-binding legal opinion by Republican Attorney General Ken Paxton labeling certain gender-confirming treatments as child abuse. The Texas Department of Family and Protective Services has said it opened 9 investigations following the directive and opinion. Abbott's directive and the Attorney General's opinion go against the nation's largest medical groups, including the American Medical Association, which have opposed Republican-backed restrictions filed in state houses nationwide. Wednesday's lawsuit in Texas was filed on behalf of families of 3 boys, 2 16-year-olds, and a 14-year-old who have received gender-confirming care. The 2 16-year-olds in the case have received hormone therapy, according to court filings. The families talked in the filings about the anxiety they faced because of Texas investigations. The mother of one of the teens said her son attempted suicide and was hospitalized the day Abbott issued his directive. The outpatient psychiatry facility where the teen was referred reported the family for child abuse after learning he'd been prescribed hormone therapy, she said in a court filing. I am offended and hurt that my state government wants to make it unlawful for trans youth like me to be ourselves, and the DFP, Department of Family Protective Services, the governor and the attorney general are willing to persecute families like mine simply for loving and supporting their trans children, another teen said in court filing. Arkansas last year became the first state to pass a law prohibiting gender-confirming treatments for minors, and Tennessee approved a similar measure. A judge blocked Arkansas law, and the state is appealing. All right, so here again, I understand the issues with this, and it's very complicated. Government's not the best way to do this. This is a culture war. This is really something that has to be talked about with the kid, with counselors, with medical professionals, with your priest or your rabbi. I mean, really, you need a lot of people involved in this. The government is the last people. And it's interesting that the quote lib once again has to go, hey, what's with the government overreach? and you can't say you're concerned about protecting children when you won't even pass common sense gun reform in your state, when you won't even do red flag laws in your state. You can't say you're concerned about children. You have to be consistent. We're concerned about children. We're going to reduce guns that people can get a hold of and come to school. And we're going to do the trans thing. At least now you're consistent. But no, this is culture war nonsense. This is government overreach. I understand why people, you know, might consider abuse, not abuse. But honestly, unless it's our kid, it's none of our business, especially if these kids are happy. Now, listen, if a boy shows up with tits all one day and seems really upset by it, all right, we might have an issue here. This kid didn't want to have the hormone therapy, and they did. But we haven't had that case yet. You can only assume these parents love their kids unless proven otherwise, and there's no proof of that. It's just people, like, you know, in Pip's case with the neighborhood, putting their nose where it doesn't belong. It's not your business. It doesn't concern you. Why do you give a shit?
The thing about it is that if you, as a child, as a youth, as a minor, your mind hasn't fully developed. Your hormones are going. And you might be making a mistake you're going to regret all your life. I mean, there's a full article in the Post on Sunday. I didn't get a chance to read it yet, of kids that had the change and totally regretted it.
But, Joe, I understand that.
Hear me out on this. Now, and basically this is to protect children from making a mistake. Now, on that same thing, going back to your point, well, how are we going to protect everybody in school? There's got to be, you know, I mean, there's got to be a certain meeting of the minds on this, you know. So, and everybody's got their own camp on that. I do believe that a child should not make a decision to take hormone therapy or mutilate their body until they're of consent at 18. I do feel that we need more gun laws or ways to protect schools. So it is a lot going on. Should the government stick their nose in it? Well, if it's the welfare of a child, maybe, you know, should the government stick their nose into protecting children at school? Yeah.
But these are the same states that don't want to provide, you know, SNAP, food stamps for kids. They don't want to provide food services that unfortunately churches have to do and sometimes schools have to do. There's no consistency there. So I don't buy that they're really concerned about the kids. I also don't buy that a parent isn't going at some point over and over and over again, listen, is this really what you do? If you do this now, I can't imagine a parent isn't laying out the pros and cons of this whole thing. It's not just a 15-year-old goes, all right, lop it all off. It's not like that. This has got to be a difficult decision for any family. And again, why is it the government's business? Why? I mean, if these kids seem like they're miserable and they're abused for some reason, yes, step in. If there seems like there's a problem at home,
well, I think the government, and maybe it's because of their agenda. You have a lot of teachers that are LGBTQ in there, trying to push their agenda on these kids, and these kids' minds haven't developed yet, and they're like, you know what? Maybe this is something I want. Your mind hasn't fully developed yet.
I'll tell you one thing. If there's one thing kids are susceptible to, it's doing what adults want them to do. Oh, yes. Always listening to adults are these kids. They're not. Man, listen, these kids, maybe they're confused. Maybe they're not. But nobody knows their kids better than the parents and the friends of the parents, like the parents' friends that the kids hang out with. It certainly isn't Governor Abbott. You know, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous! This is culture war stuff. I can, like I said, I can understand the concern, But the level to do it is not the government, where you're terrorizing these families, where you have these kids that are suicidal because this is what they really want to do. This is your solution? Then the solution is worse than the problem. And that's
then
what
the cats, then they need to offer counseling or something like that, because basically there are a lot of people that are killing themselves feeling that they made the biggest mistake of their life, mutilating their body at a young age. And I think it's more than the frustrated kids that are not, you know, that don't know what they want to.
Well, we don't really have numbers on that. At least I don't. So I don't know if that's true or not true. So there's no way to know that.
I don't know the percentage of people killing themselves because they made the decision to transition and then they decided they were unhappy. From what I've understood from looking into it a bit, that there's not a great percentage of that. That's a much lesser percentage than the small percentage of people that need to transition in the first place. But the thing is that there are kids who have realized since they were young that they really feel, and they keep pressing to their parents and anybody will listen to them, no, I don't call me a boy, I'm a girl, or vice versa. And the thing is that, you know, little kids by and large don't all of a sudden decide, oh, I'm going to be the other and be that consistent about it. And it's not because there's kindergarten teachers saying, hey, you know, let me talk to you about the gay agenda or whatever. It's that the kids really do feel that they are misgendered. When there comes a point where, because, you know, their hormones are going to start kicking in, there are going to be permanent body changes that they can't get rid of. And it's like, hold on. It's heartbreaking.
This is really the answer why there's more transgender kids now, why there's more gay kids now than when we were growing up, than the generation before. Because those kids were always there. Parents are understanding now. More and more generations of parents are going, I'm going to love you no matter what, as opposed to the kids feeling that they have to hide it. These people are always there. They just can, and their peers are more understanding. Now, when I pick my kid up, there's like gay pride bumper stickers and stuff. I knew there was gay kids in my high school, and, you know, they were terrorized to a degree. You certainly wouldn't see a gay pride bumper sticker. It's because people are changing. Not that they're changing to be more gay. It's people are going, okay, you're gay. That's fine. I love you anyway. You're a good person. That's what it is. It's not because they're watching Queer Eye for the Straight Guy or whatever the hell it is. It's because more and more people are supportive of them to just be who they want to be. But just be happy.
Like I said, and I've got the article right here. It's about the alarming rise of teens who are changing genders and then are transitioning back. So the first off, you start off with a girl, Chloe, who was 12 years old. She decided she was transgender. At 13, she came out to her parents. That same year, and at 13, at that same year, she was put on puberty blockers and prescribed testosterone. At 15, she underwent a double mastectomy.
That's a lot.
Less than a year later, she realized she made a mistake, all by the time she was 16 years old. Now 17, Chloe is one of the growing cohort called detransitioners, those who seek to reverse gender transition. I'm not going to go into the rest of the story. There's a lot here. But the thing about it is that these kids are making – they're not sure of themselves, and they're making these life-altering decisions.
Joe, I'm not disputing that.
Go along with it.
I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying the government doesn't have a part in that equation. You know, that's all I'm saying.
Getting to a point where it's happening more and more, and this article says that it is, it's something that the government would need to take a look at.
Really? Well, I'll tell you what's happening more and more. Mass shootings. Government ain't doing dick about it. Stop.
I'm not going to stop, and I'll tell you why, because you should be looking into that as well.
But that's a bigger problem. That's a bigger problem. The amount of shootings we have in this country, and that's a big, you know, when we saw, or the amount of homeless people that we have, or Joe, you'll appreciate this, some of the lawlessness that we now allow, you know, these are problems that government can solve. These are things.
Poverty.
That's why I said, yes, the homelessness.
Poverty.
Yes, these are things. Getting involved in people's sex lives, whether it be sodomy, homosexuality, transgender, should be way down on the list. And Joe just – you know, said a whole bunch of things that are wrong with the government, and it's hard to disagree right now with some. I know I would disagree with some of the stuff, but Joe just has a long list of complaints of things that he feels are adversely affecting his life, which I would say the majority of citizens at this point in our country would side with Joe on, whether it's high gas, the cost of this, the cost of that. I would say left, right, center, most people would work focus on that. Now, I don't have the answers to that, and a lot of them don't have the answers. But what is not affecting the majority of us is transgender people and what they're doing. It's just not.
What the problem is, and it's with the transgender contingent, is they're pushing their narrative over the bounds of where we find.
What narrative? What narrative? I've never seen the trend.
You've got these transgender teachers going into the schools preaching their ideology.
What? Hold on. What are you talking? I got a kid in a school. I've never heard of a transgender teacher showing up to school and pushing their ideology. I mean,
well, it does happen enough.
Where is it happening?
Maybe not in your school, and you're lucky it's not.
I'm asking you a specific question.
Especially in city schools, in the inner city schools.
Where are transgender people sashaying in and saying, you should be trans like me? I don't know of this class.
Or they go in and they're teaching, well, I changed and I'm coming out. They're pushing this agenda. Once again, it's a contingent of people that they're going past the...
Hold on. Are they coming into schools and saying, you know, I went through this change and this is who I am now? Or are they coming into schools? Hold on. Or are they coming into schools and going, I went through this change. This is who I am now. And you should do it, too. Because one is saying, this is who I am. And the other is actually pushing an agenda. There's a difference.
There are both that are doing it.
I don't know that to be true.
It's also the same thing with the whole thing with Roe versus Wade. Okay? Now, with Roe versus Wade.
Oh, Pip will kill you.
I'm sorry?
Pip will kill you. You better watch. She will reach through that screen and rip your heart out.
No, and in my opinion, Roe versus Wade has always been up to debate ever since it was, you know, the decision was made in 1972. But basically you have, especially in New York State, where they're, you know, it got to the point now that they're okaying late-term abortions. And I think when it got to that point, people are saying, you know, we need to take a look at this before this gets any farther. And I think that's why.
Bullshit. People I told are you. Not going out and having all these late-term abortions, killing babies. No. This is an attack on women. This is an attack on abortion specifically. It's not because there's a bunch of women going out there going, you know what, I went through 8 months.
It has, and that ruling is not, it has nothing to do with the Constitution. It's up to the individual states, which they're going to probably pass it back. If they weren't pushing late-term abortions, I believe that this wouldn't have come to the forefront and it would have stayed at the status quo that it was.
Who's pushing late-term abortions? Specifically, who's going out and having all these late-term abortions, really?
Enough pushing an agenda where they want it is
no! No! No. No. People who believe in the right to choose are not pushing an agenda for late-term abortions. That is not what people are looking for. And these late-term abortions, I don't know what you're talking about. It's like you can't tell people that they can't have an abortion after a time period that is so short. A lot of women don't even know they're pregnant at that point. So all of a sudden that's translated into all these women are running out and having late-term abortions. That's not true. I would bet my whole house that there is not this big rampage of women going looking for late.
Hold on. Let me stop you right there. Let me stop you right there, Pip. Until you get this landscaping situation under control, you're really not offering much by putting up your house. There's issues there.
But I'm saying no. I know.
I'm trying to defuse it. I'm trying to defuse this so I can move on. I tried to warn Joe not to go into the bear caves. He refused.
Well, because there's a whole movement
I know.
Of people that are talking about these boogeyman situations instead of dealing with it really is.
That's what I'm saying.
There is a group of religious nuts that say that you should not have abortion ever. because abortion is murder, and trying to say that the time of conception is the minute you stop watching the Netflix and you start chilling. It's already a person. No, this is another way to subjugate women, and this is another way to try to take away rights from people, and they have no interest in a child once it's born. They just want to keep women from being able to be in charge of their own reproductive rights.
Well, I gotta stop you again. They do have an interest once they're born. It might take till 15 years, but then if you don't like the gender that you were born as and you want to switch, then they have an interest again. See, Pip, you gotta be more specific. All right, I get it. Then it goes to my point. This is all stuff, honestly, all stuff. God, I guess I'm the libertarian in the bunch. That government should not get their mitts on. It's all stuff. It's like the economy, the military, social welfare nets, if you will, which is even broadening it out more, to be fair. But certainly the economy and the military, we'll stay with that, is stuff government, we definitely need government to do. This other stuff, they're really not equipped for it. And it just causes all these problems. You're better off letting people handle this themselves. Because people are not making...
If I hear one more old man senator say things like, well, women have a way to prevent themselves from getting pregnant if they're raped and they really don't want it. If I hear one more person trying to explain why they should legislate women's bodies and they don't know the first thing about women's bodies and how they operate, I'm going to go completely fucking mental.
I got to tell
you. It's not something government has the expertise to be in.
It's okay to abort at 3 to 6 months? Which is what late-term
yes,
defines.
Under certain
that's not late-term abortion.
Circumstances.
That's not late-term abortion.
What are the certain circumstances?
Hold on. You don't have the right definition. Late-term abortion is the final trimester, 7, 8, 9. That is late-term.
It's the second trimester, 13 to 16.
No, that's religious crap right there. Late-term.
Yeah.
Good RX health right now. I'm looking at a.
That's not late-term.
First trimester is conception through week 12. Second trimester is week 13 to 26th week of pregnancy. Third trimester is week 27 till the end of pregnancy.
Yes.
Anywhere from 38 to 42 weeks.
Yes, I know that.
I have it right here.
Yes. Nobody.
Yeah, but you're looking at the definition of trimesters, not the definition of late-term abortion.
Late-term abortion and second-term abortions refer to the same thing. Abortions that happen after the first term in the second trimester of pregnancy. I'm talking about the second trimester of pregnancy.
Okay. All right.
Absolutely reasonable.
All right. Let's just say Joe's definition, for the sake of this conversation, so we can move on. Let's say Joe's definition that he's looking at is correct. Late-term abortion is the third through the 6 months. They are not legislating that, Joe. They are doing it after 5 weeks. They are saying after 5 weeks or 4 weeks. So this is the first trimester. So again, even if we went by your definition, they're legislating against something which is early, and a lot of women don't know about it. So that's the difference.
See, this is what really happens. If Christ. Women have their periods every 28 days, that's 4 weeks. So now, say that I have sex, my period doesn't come on the dot in 4 weeks. So sometimes it's late. There are reasons why women are late all the time. Not everybody has that regular 28-day cycle, and there are lots of reasons why you would be late normally, not due to pregnancy. So if I am 1 week late for my period, now I find out I'm pregnant, you're telling me I don't have the opportunity to have abortion if I feel that I need or want
one.
That's ridiculous.
What's that time frame? Give me that time frame.
I'm not talking about late term right now. I'm talking about
I know you're not. Give me that time.
Okay.
Frame.
You have your period every 28 days, mm-hmm. right? That's four
yes.
weeks. You're late 1 week. Oh, mm-hmm. 5 weeks done. Now no soup for you.
Right. At five weeks. I believe that would be a woman's point to choose on that, but I think it moved later and later and later, and I think that what happened is, especially with the religious right, that they started to go, they're pushing and pushing for later and later and later. Maybe we have to push back against this and maybe it pushed back to the Supreme Court, where the Supreme Court said, you know what, now we have to look at this again, and now we have to see the constitutionality of this. And that's why I think that it, you know, it's being brought up now, where if it wasn't pushed to the extent it was, it still would have stayed status quo.
They keep making
it more and more difficult for women to get abortions in all different states. So I am a woman in a domestic violence situation.
I can see that.
I have to go into another state to be able to get an abortion. I have to time it so that my wife-beating husband doesn't know I'm going to get an abortion. It might take me a while financially to set it up, to get over there. So now I have to work out this timing. I'm working, and I can't get time off to go out of state to go get one.
Okay, fine. What's that time period?
Whenever the woman fucking determines it is.
All right. Can we?
What's the average?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
The average? I don't know what the average is when a person has an abortion.
Five weeks?
No.
Say that she has an irregular period. She's 3 months along before she finds out she's pregnant. She should have nobody telling her what she can and cannot do with that pregnancy. Say it's incest. Say it's somebody who beats her. Say it's her eighth fucking kid and she can't support the other ones. There should be no limit on what somebody tells a woman that she can and cannot do with this.
That's not good.
None.
I think that they put, you know what? In a lot of cases, you're right, but I think, and like I said, I'm not stating my position on the abortion issue. I'm giving my idea of an overview why it got pushed back to the Supreme Court with that late of term abortion. I think, you know, the way it was status quo, and everybody would be like, well, all right, yeah, whatever. But I think it got to the point where it was so far out that they brought it back to the Supreme Court.
If you go and you get amniocentesis and it turns out that you have a kid with a terrible, terrible disease, that they're going to have no quality of life, and you decide, I cannot do that to a child. A lot of people will decide to have a child born, even if it's born with no brain, and believe me, that actually does happen. I'm not being funny. So, I mean, it's terribly deformed. It's going to not live very long because of what's happening with it. The cruelty is that someone who has nothing to do with this woman or her doctor or her family is voted into position and could be denied. This person should have no say in that woman's decision. None. Zero. And I don't care if they make that decision, they find out about this deformity at 8 months. Now, that is not the overwhelming reason why women have abortions, and that is not the time period they do it. But if that is her personal decision, for whatever her reason is, nobody should be able to tell her no.
In instances like that, and rape, I would agree that, you know, abortion. But I'm not against the abortion issue. Like I said, what I'm saying is that they pushed it so much that it got pushed back to the Supreme Court, and that's why, you know, why it's going to be, because basically everything was status quo. In other words, it was the rule of the land, you know? So
since,
we'll see what happens.
Since the time that women could become pregnant, there have been abortions. And the only thing that making them illegal does is push people back into the back alleys. That's all that's going to do is bringing people back to getting a coat hanger. That's what that does. It's not going to stop anything. And there isn't this overwhelming, let's, you know, race out and, you know, 8 months into the pregnancy, change their mind. That's not what's happening. But no one has the right to decide that for the woman. Nobody. Nobody.
Well,
you don't get to pick and choose.
Hey, stupid, next time I warn you about something, how about you fucking listen? All right, let's move on.
No, just sit there and read your book. Shut your face.
I told you. Jesus Christ. Told you that was going to happen.
Look, if I want to sit around and go harumph, harumph to every topic, I'll go on Ant's show. okay? That's why I stick around here, because that's not the case here.
That's why you stick around here, like anybody else will take you. Please. All right, let's do it.
I'm in the same boat, Joe. Don't feel bad.
Let's do it in outstanding.
If there's one thing that unites the three of us on Davin's Den, it's an outstanding display of spite. In lieu of that, we'd like to introduce Outstanding Displays of Spite.
He's back. Florida Governor Ron DeS- What?
That made me laugh. I forgot I did that.
It always surprises you. I think that the big D is creeping up.
Oh, that's funny. Who's you dope?
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis blocked state funding for a new Tampa Bay's Ray training facility, partly because the baseball team spoke out against gun violence in the wake of back-to-back gun-related massacres in Uvalde, Texas, and Buffalo, New York. A source familiar with the internal conversations told CNN. DeSantis on Thursday used his line-item veto powers to eliminate $35 million for a sports training and youth tournament complex in Pasco County in the Tampa Bay area, which local officials hoped could serve as the new player development facility for the Rays. On Friday, he said he eliminated the funding because I don't support giving taxpayer dollars to professional sports stadiums. But a source said the Republican leader had not made up his mind, and so the Rays took an organizational stance calling for action in the wake of the latest mass shootings. 2 days after a gunman killed 19 children and two adults at a Texas elementary school, the Rays announced a $50,000 donation to Everytown for Gun Safety, an organization that advocates policies to prevent gun violence. The Major League Baseball team also tweeted a statement calling for action. This cannot be normal. We cannot become numb. We cannot look the other way. We all know if nothing changes, nothing changes. Okay. It would not be the first time DeSantis has moved against a company that took a political position opposite to him. DeSantis signed a bill in April to strip Disney of its special governing status in Florida after the company publicly criticized a new state law that banned certain classroom instruction about sexual orientation and gender identity. DeSantis on Friday hinted at his displeasure with the Rays' remarks, telling reporters at a news conference that it was inappropriate to subsidize political activism of a private corporation. But he added, either way, it's not appropriate, but we were not in a situation where use of tax dollars for a professional stadium would have been a prudent use. A spokeswoman for the Rays did not respond to requests for comment. Pasco County has successfully lobbied state lawmakers to include $35 million in the budget for a sports complex in Odessa that would provide community facilities serving general recreation, youth, amateur, professional baseball, softball participation, sports tourism, and other programming and events, according to the budget request. It was hoped that the Rays would move their training operation to the complex. DeSantis was skeptical of the proposal, the source said. The governor thought it might upset residents in Port Charlotte, home to the Rays' current spring training facility. If he helped the team move to another part of Florida and he didn't believe it would provide much economic benefit to shift the Rays' training operation from the part of the state to of one of the state to another. The new complex also needed the Rays and local governments to each put up $35 million, which they'd yet to officially commit to, and another sticking point for the governor. But DeSantis, who grew up as a Little League star in Dunedin, not far from where the Rays eventually opened their St. Petersburg ballpark, was not entirely opposed to the project until the Rays made the donation to Everytown and commented about the tragedies on Twitter. That made it politically easier, the source said. DeSantis has in the past opposed stricter gun laws. As a candidate for governor in 2018, he came out against the gun control measures in the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School Public Safety Act, signed into law by then-Governor Rick Scott, a Republican, after the mass school shooting in Parkland, Florida. DeSantis recently vowed to support legislation allowing people to carry guns in public without a permit. Yes. Catherine Starkey, the chair of Pasco County Board of County Commissioners, said she was not aware that DeSantis' veto might have been tied to the Rays' recent advocacy against gun violence and had no comment on that, but she said she was disappointed that the money won't be there for a new training facility. Everyone I talked to in the community was excited about the possibility of the players' development complex coming, but we're going to continue to talk to the Rays and try to come to an agreement. This makes it more difficult. All right, this was definitely an outstanding display of spite. He could have vetoed it and not mentioned anything about, you know, what the Rays were doing against gun violence and stuff like that. He could just say, listen, I don't think we should be paying for sports complexes. And a lot of people would have agreed with that. Wouldn't be a thing. But this guy's a spiteful guy. We've already seen this. And as Joe brought out when we talked about the Disney thing, he's chilling free speech. That's what this is. And what concerns me is this is the guy that Joe wants to get the Republican nominee. This guy's a bad guy. This guy's not a conservative. This guy's a quasi-authoritarianism. He had reasons. There were reasons where he could have said, no, I don't think it's a good use of taxpayer money in this climate, blah, blah, blah. They could have been bullshit. It really could have been about the gun thing. But he said the quiet part out loud. So that's why this is an outstanding display of spite.
Once again, I'm going to bring up what I brought up at the beginning of the show, where you see these guys' actions, and they can't be that stupid. I don't agree they should be spending that money on the race. And say that, and just shut up, okay? Also, with Disney, I don't agree with Disney speaking out on that. It's free speech. Don't take away their own governmental sovereignty, because now you're going to have to pay for the police. You're going to have to pay, you know, for all these utilities because you've taken it away that Disney was paying for, because Disney makes a shitload of money. If you're sitting there and go, all right, let them say what they say. They make plenty of money. They're paying into our tax base, and we don't have to pay for cops. We don't have to pay for sanitation. We're not, because Disney's picking up the tab because they're their own sovereignty. Now we may have to pick up the tab for that. So it's, you know, it's a pissing contest at the expense of the taxpayer.
Yeah, that's an absolutely great point, because they really he is making a terrible error in this case. You know, all different states will give like tax concessions and all kinds of benefits to corporations that they want to stay in their state because they know they're going to provide jobs. Their taxes, even though they're getting a little break, like their real estate taxes or whatever, that they know that there's going to be a benefit to both if they lure people in. But this guy is just like getting all upset about one issue, about these big companies that could be of benefit to his state, but he's getting his panties in a twist about one thing or another, about free speech issues. Then he's trying to drive out the business in the state. That's ridiculous.
Here's something that will blow your mind. DeSantis is like AOC. Because remember, Amazon wanted to move into AOC's district, and part of the deal, right. Part of the deal was there was going to be a shitload of tax breaks. And she didn't want that, and she came out against it, and Amazon said, screw you, we're not going to do it. And Joe was here going against AOC at that time. How stupid are you? The amount of jobs it would have created, what it would have done for the local community, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, there's no consistency with these people.
No, it's whatever pissing contest you want to get into. Now, going back, and I believe it was during the winter we did the story, that DeSantis was having a hard time with Disney, was interfering with Disney getting their copyrights on their intellectual property based on the stance about the don't say, so-called, quote-unquote, don't say gay bill. Now, I don't like that bill. Now, with that being said, it has absolutely nothing to do with intellectual property. If you felt Disney was interfering on Warner Brothers and taking using their Mickey Mouse and it was infringing on something else, then there's the point of review. But it's got to be on the basis of law under intellectual property. And it wasn't. It wasn't made on that. It was made on their opinion on the Don't Say Gay bill. You know, you got to pick and choose your battles. And once again, they have this, and questioning the sovereignty of Disney is going to add a lot more to the tax base, because now we have to pay for the sewers, we have to pay for the cops, we have to pay for this. So it could be the far right agenda on their back. It's almost like the Green New Deal agenda on Biden. You know, with the far right agenda on, you know, guys like DeSantis, they're pandering to them, and they're pandering for votes instead of turning around and going, no, this whole thing with the intellectual property is based on copyright law, and this whole thing is freedom of speech. I'm not going to take it. Plus, they spend a gold mine. Let me tell you something. There's a place called Jake's 58. It's like a little casino with slot machines and stuff down the road. It is a gold mine. If they came out with a rainbow flag and they had gay men scantily clad swinging around the poles on top of the building, and they said, Joe Curry, do something, I'd be like, fuck you. Do you know what they do to the tax base? I'm going to get my spandex pants and join them. You know? I mean, you gotta understand shit. Yeah.
All right. The final thing on this story.
I'd be my first one on around. You know what they're paying into the tax base? I don't give a shit.
The final thing on this story, I think he's out of step with where the people are. I know Florida is going increasingly red, but Florida did have the red flag law, which now they're looking to do federally, and he's supporting permitless carry of handguns. So you don't have to get any training; you could just walk around with a handgun. What? Who the hell? Except for the most right-wing fringe gun nut, your average responsible gun owner who wants to carry a weapon but also thinks that you should get some sort of training, some sort of permit.
I would agree with this. Sometimes I kind of separate from ants. Basically, I do feel that, and I brought it up to him, you know, I mean, look, your dad's ranch. Gun safety. Up in my dad, you know, my brother's farm, gun safety. So you need to understand the weapon. You need to respect the weapon. You need to know how to handle the weapon. You need to respect the weapon. You just can't hand it out. It's like, you get a license for a car. You just can't go out and drive. You have to pass a test. Not that they have a test, but you need to go through some sort of gun safety training.
Just to put a bow on this. This goes back to what I was saying earlier, and Joe was saying the fringe right. No, the fringe right is now in control. This is the right is for gun ownership. This position, I would argue, is fringe right. And this guy has a very good chance of being the Republican presidential candidate in 2024.
I think he has a damn good chance, but right. He's like anybody, but he's like anybody else. Anybody else is going to pander to their side. So will I vote for him? Yeah, I will. Would I vote for him over Trump? Yeah, I will, because I consider Trump damaged goods. But they're all just – every fucking one of them are going to pander to their side.
All right.
You have to look at it and go, all right, what – out of everything going on, what policy do they have? And what is going to be policy on that? And is it better than the opposition side or the opposing side? What do I want to do? You got to take the good with the bad. It's politics. It's always going to be this way. It always was, and it always will be. Guys that get in, that figure they're going to change their play, don't want to be bothered with that shit.
All right.
Everyone that goes in is a narcissist. They want their power base. They want to be in charge. They want to lead. And it's a narcissistic thing. People that really want to make the change are not going to run because they see what they're going to go through. And they're like, fuck it. I'll stay in the private sector.
All right, yeah. Let's move on. Children's Museum of Indianapolis faced criticism last week for offering what was labeled as a Juneteenth watermelon salad in their food court. Oh, boy. A photo of the packaged salad circulated across social media as the museum was inviting attendees on Facebook to its Juneteenth Jamboree on Saturday, June 18th. The museum eventually updated the post, which received hundreds of comments discussing the salad. Oh, of course it did. Directing individuals to a statement apology shared on its website. As a museum, we apologize and acknowledge the negative impact that stereotypes have on communities of color and fruit. The salad has been removed from the menu. We are currently reviewing how we may best convey these stories and traditions during this year's Juneteenth celebration, as well as making changes around how future food selections are made by food service providers. You know, for Yom Kippur, everything will be paid for with a coupon. The statement continued adding, we've learned. Our food service for St. Patrick's Day, everybody gets whiskey and Guinness. Our food service provider uses the food and beverage menu to commemorate and raise awareness of holidays like Juneteenth. The team that made the selection included their staff members who based this choice of food on their own family traditions. As we work to create a culture of empowerment and inclusivity, we know there will be stumbles along the way. Oh, boy. As a museum, we have put a significant effort behind sharing the critical and diverse stories of a wide range of individuals. We also have placed strong emphasis on expanding DEAI initiatives throughout the museum. I don't know what that is. To conclude the statement, the museum said, we resolve to do better and continue to bring all our voices forward in our work. Today reached out to the Children's Museum of Indianapolis for comment, but was directed to the public statement. A rep for the museum told Today they would not be making new statements at this time. Juneteenth, which takes place on June 19th each year, honors the official end of slavery in the United States. The holiday marks the day when the enslaved people in Galveston, Texas, were informed they were free when federal troops arrived on June 19, 1865, 2 years after President Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. One Facebook user left a comment on the post sharing a photo of the salad that has been circulating around social media saying that the salad was perpetuating offensive stereotypes. The museum replied to the comment writing, "There should have been a label explaining the history and meaning behind this menu item, and it should not have been on the shelf before the label was ready. We understand how this appears with no context, and we apologize. We are pulling it from our food court immediately until the sign is ready to accompany it. Until then, please enjoy the fried chicken salad."
That was a foot race. I wash it down with some grape soda.
Really?
Will be forthcoming.
Don't send us letters.
Don't. The museum went on to explain the process and research that goes into the menus that are selected for special events, adding, "Watermelon, along with our red foods, are a staple of Juneteenth celebrations, including our food court manager's family Juneteenth celebrations." The sign also quoted Brooklyn-based journalist Nate Leger Whaley. "Red is a color that evokes cultural memory of bloodshed by our enslaved ancestors throughout the transatlantic slave trade." Whaley told Today Food she was not affiliated with the project, and the quote used was actually from a story she'd written, but the quote was said by someone else. This was actually from an interview I did with culinary historian and author Adrian Miller. The quote is attributed to him in my article. She said, "I've never positioned myself as black food historian or an expert on Juneteenth, which is why I interviewed Miller for this article." She added that she did not give the museum permission to use any quotes from her and would never, given the circumstances, the traditions have deep meaning, and it is irresponsible for companies to commodify them and then seek to justify it through the use of a quote that isn't even correct for my article after receiving backlash. By Monday morning, it appeared the museum had removed the photo of the label with the incorrect quote from Whaley. In the comments of the post, people lambasted the label and museum's choice to sell the salad. So why couldn't this be a strawberry salad? You all knew exactly what you were doing. "When have you ever seen a black people post their watermelon salad?" asked Naya Marie. "I'm over allies explaining their intent. At no point can you actually say no one saw this as a possible bad idea before you did it." Well, maybe it was politicians. This is a children's museum, correct? "What exactly are you teaching our children about Juneteenth history?" "Exactly," Erica Alice wrote. "African Americans eat watermelon? Very, very distasteful and disrespectful. Me and my children will not be coming to this museum. We will go where we are celebrated the right way." Walmart recently faced its own criticism when customers accused the retailer of trying to commercialize the holiday by selling Juneteenth-themed ice cream, among other merchandise, including clothing, utensils, and decorations. They're fucking Walmart, stupid.
The only way they realized that was when they were slowing down with the TV set running out the front door. They said, "Hey, I'll be damned." More news at 10.
Oh, my God, Joe. What?
Oh, we got to go in the bad box. I'll be here in the bad box.
Yeah, stay there. Put on your little dunce cap. Put it on.
Oh. Right. So, listen. First of all, I'm tired of watermelon being stereotyped. It's a delicious fruit. I've said it before. It should be enjoyed by all. Let's stop pitting anybody who doesn't like watermelon. I don't like you. But I mean, really, how dumb are they? How? I mean, even if you are going,
you know what? I look at it two ways. Number one, you can't be that stupid. Number two, however, you might be somebody that has not a racist bone in their body, that might be ignorant to the fact that serving watermelon on Juneteenth might be derogatory because you're so ensconced in having a food that represents blood red, that you are so of a liberal mind and of a pure sense and having no racism at all that it never even occurred to you. You even never even realized that. Until you put it out and realize, I'm just giving the benefit of the doubt, call it a Juneteenth fruit salad.
If watermelon was in the fruit, along with like strawberries and raspberries and other red fruits, there probably wouldn't have been an issue. You called it a watermelon salad. Why? Nobody's even ever heard of a watermelon salad before. I think whoever did this has a watermelon for a head. That's what. This is just stupid.
I was just thinking about, like, what would be something, like, if people were sitting outside of the Cosby trials eating big cups of pudding. It's not just like you just happened along and you started, like, oh, I feel like a snack, and that was a random snack. It's very purposeful. I think this person was dumb like a fox. They just decided that this would be funny, haha, and they decided to put this for Juneteenth. Bill on them.
I don't think it would be funny. I think they were so ensconced in the meaning of what Juneteenth meant with red food, with the blood of honoring it, the prominent names of Juneteenth, Juneteenth, red is the color of the most cultural memory of bloodshed by our enslaved ancestors. We're serving food here, so we got to figure out food, and that we have to, of our ancestors, we have to make sure. And it was like, well, watermelon is something. And I think we were so ensconced in turning out the indignity and being of a mind where they're not racist, the poor racism, they don't, that they never occurred to them that watermelon is universally considered racist.
Do they not have black friends? Do they not have anyone to turn to them and say, oh, honey, no?
And I'm going out on a limb here. I'm going out on a limb here because basically you can't be that stupid. I mean,
you can't be that stupid. I mean, it's not like that is like a really not known cultural bias, teasing people, making fun of them, making them feel terrible with this for years and years and years. Nobody know this.
Like I said, they could be one of these intellectuals where watermelon, it means the blood of what they went through. Yeah, not so much. Not so much when you put it out to the populace. Yeah, you have a problem.
I think the more interesting thing is, how does Juneteenth get celebrated going forward? Is it going to be celebrated like 4th of July, which is another holiday about freedom, where you have like special sales like mattresses and pomp and circumstance? Or is it going to be celebrated like, not celebrated, but commemorated like 9/11, which we all take a moment as a solemn day? I think that's what, because we're seeing a brand new holiday, and I think that's what people are struggling with right now. I don't think Walmart necessarily did anything wrong. They go, oh, cool, it's another holiday. We'll push some theme merch at it. And then you have people shaking their fingers at them. Now, 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now, that might be what we're doing. Because to me, I would think it would be a jubilant holiday because we finally had the freedom. Finally, the last people in this union were free. But the people whose opinion matters a lot more than mine, the black people, are saying, slow down, this is a solemn holiday. And if that's how they think it should be celebrated, I'm going to defer to them and go, let's not do the mattress sale and have the watermelon salad.
Yeah.
Oh, God, Americans are idiots.
People are going to go into Walmart and go, this is indignant, this is racist. Well, this is also 10% off. Maybe I'll take it.
Everybody likes a sale.
Yeah.
Some people don't use their head. And let me tell you something. When it gets, when you get into a corporate thing, I didn't get the details today with the meeting I had, but sometimes you get into corporate hierarchy and offices, and what goes on up in the corporate suite compared to what really is going down in the stores and the street is fucking night and day. And sometimes when you intermediaries, it's mind-boggling. There was probably somebody at corporate in Walmart would say, hey, we have a lot of African-American customers. Why don't we put down this Juneteenth sale and they'll enjoy it? No, you asshole. No, they're not,
All right. I leave this up to Pip to decide, since we had an extended abortion conversation and we had 25 minutes of tech yuck to open the show. The hour is getting late. So Pip, your decision is this. We can do fart stories and call it a night, and we'll do a two-part show. Or we could take our last quick break, it's a short break, and do scamming scammers. We are not going to do both. So Pip, I leave it to you to decide what you would like to do.
Fart stories.
All right, there you go.
There's a girl.
I'm sorry, my back appreciates the little bit of break, but I'm also really into this.
Into the story? Well, we would have done it next week.
I know, but I want to do this.
Okay, dear, we know where your heart lies, right next to your ass. Yes. All right, fart stories it is.
Welcome to Fart Stories.
Okay.
It's a masterpiece, by the way, folks.
Yeah, really. We really are lucky to get our access to such a genius. The government of New Zealand has proposed a novel way of fighting climate change, charging farmers for the burps, farts, and waste of farm animals. New Zealand is a progressive, eco-friendly country, but also a land where sheep and cattle both outnumber people. Sheep, cows, and other livestock contribute to climate change in various ways, including by grazing on land that was clear-cut to make room for them, and by eating grains grown where forests once stood. But they also create planet-warming emissions directly as a byproduct of their digestion, which releases methane, a powerful greenhouse gas. So as part of a system of selling tradable emissions credits, New Zealand wants to require ranchers to buy credits for the methane their livestock produce. There is no question that we need to cut the amount of methane we are putting into the atmosphere, and an effective emissions pricing system for agriculture will play a key part in how we achieve that, James Shaw, New Zealand's climate change minister, told BBC News. Methane is the second most prevalent greenhouse gas after carbon dioxide, and the majority of methane emissions come from human activity. Since methane causes much more warming than carbon in the first few decades after its release, but then dissipates in the atmosphere more quickly, clamping down on methane emissions is essential to averting catastrophic climate change, according to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Joe used to work for them. President Biden and the European Union unveiled a global effort to cut methane emissions at the United Nations Climate Change Conference in Glasgow, Scotland last November. Contrary to endless Republican jokes about how Democrats want to ban cow farts, burps are actually the more widespread issue for climate change. So there. As WebMD, which cleverly labeled the New Zealand plan an animal gas tax, explains, cows and sheep have stomachs with separate compartments, one of which known as the rumen chamber, filled with microbes that break down plants they eat. That process produces carbon dioxide and methane, which they burp out into the atmosphere. Cows are pretty disgusting eaters, with methane coming from both ends.
Oh, yeah, I went to dinner with a cow last week. Jesus Christ, what table manners. Even the pig looked at me and go, if you ever say you eat like a pig, I'm going to hit you with my fucking hoof. Look at this son of a bitch.
Joe, we would all appreciate if you left your dating life out of this segment of the show.
No, I want to hear this.
Of course you do. You live vicariously through Joe. Cows are pretty disgusting eaters, with methane coming from both ends, Christopher Field of the Stanford Woods Institute for the Environment told the Associated Press in 2019. But most of it comes from burping. According to an estimate cited by the Associated Press, methane emitted by ruminant livestock accounts for about 5.5% of the greenhouse gases that come from human activity. The total greenhouse gas emissions from all livestock, including manure storage, because you can't let that shit lie around, transportation, and so on, accounts for 14.5% of all global emissions, according to the United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization. New Zealand's burp tax would take effect in 2025, and it would also provide farmers with subsidies to switch their livestock to a special diet that avoids creating greenhouse gases, such as feeding them seaweed instead of grass or grain, or to offset the emissions by planting trees. The country will also pour money into research that could advance other technological fixes, such as outfitting animals with masks that capture their emissions, or selectively breeding cows that burp less. Even New Zealand's farm industry is supportive. We've been working with the government and other organizations on this for years to get an approach that won't shut down farming in New Zealand, so we've signed off on a lot of stuff we're happy with. Andrew Hoggard, a dairy farmer and national president of Federated Farmers of New Zealand, told the BBC. It actually seems like a pretty cool law. And, you know, the farmers are on board.
I think it's absolutely ridiculous. Animals have been farting and burping on this planet since the place was made. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but now we have more cows than before, because we're eating more meat than before, and we're mass producing and shipping out meat. So there's a lot more animals, and we're cutting down more forests than before. So yes, they've been burping, but there's more of them, and it seems like you can It seems like you can eliminate their emissions without hurting cows or the beef industry or farmers or anything else. It doesn't seem like anybody really gets hurt by this. I mean, maybe a cow doesn't like seaweed as much. I don't know. The jury's still out on that. But if it doesn't hurt the cows and the farmers are behind it and the country's behind it, what's the problem?
But the problem is that maybe with subsidy, you know, the New Zealand subsidizes their farmers where they can afford all this stuff. Here in the States, farmers are just getting by. This is also part of one of the far, far things in the Green New Deal initiative as well here.
Yeah, but one of the things is planting trees. I mean, that's a good thing.
But planting trees makes sense. I mean,
well, that's part of this. Ridiculous. That's part of this thing. There's different options. You know, part of it is subsidizing farmers to feed them something different. Part of it is planting trees. It seems like, you know, it seems like a significant amount. And we probably have more cattle. I'm sure we do have more cattle than New Zealand just because we're a bigger country.
And because we eat an enormous amount of beef. Well, the other thing is that, I mean, it sounds particularly ridiculous, and it's fart stories, because the methane is being produced by an animal and it's coming out of its butt. So it's like, oh, this is ridiculous, how stupid. But the other thing is that we've worked as a country to reduce the emissions coming out of our cars, and we get inspected every year to make sure that we're not putting out as many emissions, because we realize that the environment needs our help. And so it's in the same way. I mean, you know, Davin said it before I had to say it, you know, there are far more cows than there used to be. And we already have environmental damage, so it's like we can't say, well, it would always fine before. It's not fine anymore. So as stupid as this sounds, a fart tax, a burp tax,
it's nonsense.
Well, taxing in that respect is a way to keep people to comply with something that needs to be done for the good of everyone, really. And, it is going to hurt some farmers and stuff, but there are other things that people are trying to do to try to get Americans in particular, but the whole world, to eat less meat.
Well, apparently,
it is something that is it's an environmental danger.
Well, in New Zealand,
it's bad for our health. It's fucking delicious. Listen, you know what? I am down with hamburgers. I love a good cheeseburger, but I also understand that, you know, my choices also affect other people on the planet. Might have to have less of those.
Well, I mean, the farmers in New Zealand seem to be on board. So maybe if it's sold this way to the farmers here, where it's not going to cost you anything, we're just going to, you know, you're going to feed them something different, you know, maybe it'll work. It's interesting, though, that they want the cows to wear masks. I could just see, like, the New Zealand cows complying with wearing masks, and the American cows are like, no, you can't tell me to wear a mask. Where's my freedom, moo?
Bessie is not having it.
No. Bessie's an American moo cow.
Work on a farm to bring the cows out to milk. Now, you know, you're getting them all out of the herd. Now you got to take masks off of them.
Well, Joe, you're looking at the negative.
Ridiculous.
I'm looking at it as a, you know what, sometimes it's like a surprise. I wonder what Bessie looks like underneath that mask. Oh, there's a girl. You know.
You think it's going to heighten Bessie's allure for you there, Davin?
I most certainly do. You heard them. There's more of them than there are people in that country. Let me tell you something. Some of those cows are seeing some action.
Hey, baby, show me a little hoof.
Yeah. You know, Bessie's milkshake brings the farmer to the pasture.
Yeah, right? Oh, my God. Well, you know, it is kind of ridiculous. It's sort of like, you know, running around the front yard in your sneakers and no bra. It's milking cows with masks on their faces. It seems ridiculous.
I think we should go further and gas humans who eat a lot of gassy foods. Tax humans who eat a lot of gas. Oh, you stop at Taco Bell? All right, that dollar burrito, now $1.50. Because we know what you're going to do for the next 20 minutes, putt-putting away in your car.
Yeah, taxing every taco.
Yeah, a tax on every taco. A taco tax.
Taco tax.
Sure.
Yeah, well, you know, this anything that's going to affect my butt, I'm against.
Wow. That sounds like a Mr. Helix problem. I call it fundraising through flatulence. I support it. Look at Joe. Joe's shaking his head. Joe's like, this. Joe, this hits close to home. I'm a man and I can fart in the comfort of my own house. Sure, sometimes when I fart, my cheeks flap, the lights go out, but that's all right. It's a clapper. It doesn't understand.
Yeah, exactly. Something goes out all the time.
Joe just had some of that dollar store good eats. That's all. That's why the lights go. It looks like his house is possessed. Like there's an exorcism going on. He got himself some of those.
With the dollar store, I'm very selective because basically I had a dollar store breakfast burrito. The expressway is 5 miles from my house. It took 5 miles for me to go and then drive like Vin Diesel back to the house. So basically. Dollar store burritos anymore.
Oh my god. Driving like Vin Diesel to get back home. Oh my god.
When
did I ever tell you guys the time I got pulled I got pulled over by a cop after I left a restaurant with my friends and I was like, I feel like I have to use the bathroom. Oh, I'm so close to home. I'm not going to go back in. But then I was like starting to think, maybe this is worse than I thought. And I was at this red light where there's no turn on red, but nobody was coming. So I made the turn. A cop comes out of nowhere and pulls me over. And I was like, no, not now, not now. And I was like the next town over from home, and he's coming up on the side of the car, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I never turned right there, but I got to get home and use the bathroom right now. And I'm sure he was like,
you know what you should have done? You know what you should have done? When he asked for license and registration, you should have said, but first, pull my finger. And then he would have known.
Yeah. I was like, I need.
He would have escorted you home.
Well, he asked me where I lived, and I was like, look, either let me go home or follow me to the station so I can use the restroom, and then you can write me. But I got to leave this spot now. And he was like, go home.
Pip would have farted at him, but she didn't want to get brought up on charges of assault with a deadly weapon.
You would have punished his badge.
What are you in here for? Absolutely. Robbery. What are you in here for? Rape. What are you in here for? I farted at a cop.
Oh, well done. Good job. Good job.
That's a misdemeanor.
It would have been meaner, all right. Yeah. I was like, I didn't want to say it to him. I'm like, but if you make me wait, I know how long it takes them to go back to the car and look at you up and write the ticket and then come over and explain to you about it. No. I will crap myself right here on the side of the road.
Return officer.
I'm like, you better let me go.
I need to poo.
Bring me in.
When I got in that accident, remember the night I got in the accident before the show? I had to go to the bathroom so bad. And I'm like, I pulled it off, but it's like, oh my god, I had to, you gotta wait for the cop, you gotta wait for it. I'm like, holy shit. I actually thought, I go, should I tell him I'll be back in a minute? I don't.
I know.
It was brutal. Holy cow.
I was at a fender bender
with a guy, and we were on the side of the Palisades Interstate Parkway, as a matter of fact, and we both pulled over, and all of a sudden, the guy goes trotting off into the woods, and I'm like, is he escaping the scene of the crime? I hit him, what the hell? Like, he made one of those motions like he was going to pull out into traffic, and he changed his mind, so I tapped him. Idiot. Anyway, he runs off, and I'm like, what's he doing? And then I realize that he's peeing on a tree.
Yeah, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
Yeah, yeah. He just didn't say anything.
Especially as you get older. I've been working on this new portion. Dad probably heard it on Saturday. A new portion of my act. I go, yeah, getting old is not fun. I go, I got a prostate like a saloon door. I go, everything I do is based on where I can see. Anywhere I go. I go, look at that bathroom. I go, I am here because that bathroom is satisfactory to me. I go, not, I would have headed back to Long Island. Yeah. So all based on where you got to see. Yeah.
I hear that, and I don't have a prostate.
All right, let's call it a night. We'd like to thank Sensei Fredico for his support of the show. We certainly appreciate that. We got a show next week. Then we're going to be off for a few weeks because I am leaving the country, leaving for the Bahamas. So next week will be our last show for a couple of weeks. So we'll do that. What do you got, Joe?
Portobello is Bergen County, New Jersey's most exclusive fine dining Italian restaurant. And their Tuscan Villa setting will make you feel like you've been transported to the old country. Every dish is prepared with care and attention to detail, and the Portobello chefs are happy to cater to any dietary need, thus ensuring every visit is not just a meal, but an experience. Portobello is open for lunch and dinner Monday through Saturday, and on Sunday, Portobello features a sumptuous brunch in addition to their dinner menu, which is available all day. Friday and Saturday nights, Portobello features live entertainment starting at 9 p.m. Portobello Banquets, that's your destination for that special event. Suite 16, wedding, office party, anything that has to impress. Their professional staff will ensure that your event will not be just an occasion, but a memory. Portobello Banquets also hosts the always popular Comedy Nights throughout the year, which are produced by Side-Splitting Productions owner Gavin of Gavin's Den. Gavin, when is that show coming up?
August 12th.
August 12th, and a great lineup. Experience all that Portobello has to offer. 175 Ramapo Valley Road in Oakland, New Jersey. Learn more. Call them 201-337-8990. That is 201-337-8990. Or visit them website, PortobelloNJ.com. That is PortobelloNJ.com. You deserve the best. You deserve a great night out. You deserve Portobello.
Side-Splitting Productions, all your comedy needs. Side-SplittingProductions.com. Call us 551-404-3094. Joe, anywhere exciting this week?
Not a goddamn thing, except for the concert, which I'll probably see you during the middle. I can't get out of work till 3, so I'll see you probably after Joan Jett.
Why, he wouldn't let you out early?
Everybody's off. Don's even off.
Well, then he understands. You'd be off too. He's not there.
No, everybody. We've got 3 people out already. And you know what? I can't. It's a gig, but it's not me doing a gig. So I'll deal with it. So I said, all right, can I leave at 3? He goes, listen. He goes, leave at 3. He goes, if it's really slow, talk to Cindy, bug out at 2. But, you know, so I'll get there when I get there.
Well, if you take the train, you should still get there by 4:30, right?
I should be okay. I think Joan Jett's first.
Yeah.
And it'd be nice.
What the hell happened to your sound? Oh, the sound. All right. Yeah, because I called Pip and I didn't call in between. Can't hear anybody anymore. So we're just going to call it a night. Can't hear. I know. I don't give a shit. Bye-bye. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us, tell...